Today I'll talk about photoperiod on flowering papagal and production of gladiolus arbutus. So background really quick. So gladiolus arbutus is actually a commercial cut flower and a geophyte, has a structure called geophyte called corm. As you can see, do you have a pointer? Yeah, so this is the corm. It's actually a compressed stem. If you actually peel it out, as you can see, the corm here. The main apical person and actually the lateral ones in here. So gladiolus is a cut flower and used for commercial production and as well in a garden. Sorry. I'll be close. So photoperiod is actually the light exposure duration for the plants, and actually it can initiate flowering. There's types of plants that required for flowering: long day, short day, day neutral. Long day is actually 16 hours of exposure of light, such as gladiolus snapdragon, and a short day as well. You can have a chrysanthemum to poinsettia, and a day neutral actually, such as gibberella, is they don't require either 8 hours or 16 hours of daylight. They can flower without that kind of restrictions. So in a photoperiod, you have different types, such as obligate or facultative. Obligate is like mainly required to stick that it have to be long day. If it's facultative long day, that's like it's promote flowering under long day. However, it can flower in the day neutral, as well vice versa with a short day flowering. So in gladiolus, photoperiod is actually important. It's one of the flowering pathways, as you can see here. In geophytes in general, this is like a lily, but gladiolus follow lily pathway as well in the flowering requirement. So as it's photoperiod. So gladiolus are quantitative long day plants, and they require 16 hours to flower. But however, it can delay flowering. So they're more like 14 hours at peak, but 16 hours actually increase the number of florets. Short day treatment for gladiolus can cause flower abortion as well as blasting. So the genotype we're using in this research, actually our own Minnesota gladiolus program, breeding lines. We actually been breeding line for since like 18 years, and every year we're trying to decrease their dormancy period as well as increase rapidly their flowering ability. So this is just quick typical life cycle of gladiolus. If you plant them from seeds, you get vegetative plants, cormel, then it's go directly to dormancy. Go back, you plant it again, and go back vegetative growth and dormancy multiple times. After 3-5 years, it then goes to flower, because this is like the juvenile time, which is like 3 to 5 years. So a cycle is a 1 year. Our breeding program actually able to push the plants actually to flower in the first year, directly skipping the dormancy period. So as a seedling, full comb, vegetative growth, as well as flowering in a first year in a range of 4 to 10 months period without going to dormancy first. So they're skipping the actual dormancy, making them more like annual plants. We're doing that for a seed-propagated gladiolus. So the objective and hypothesis of the study, we have gladiolus that's able to flower in the first year from seed. They have proven genetically are superior to those commercial ones that had to take long time from flowering from seed. So they have tendency to flower early and faster. So we're going to investigate their ability to flower on the short day as well. Like, is it, like, you know, gladiolus flower long day? Is it possible they can even skip that bypass long day restriction, able them to flower and even in short day? And the second thing is to investigate whether or not that we can increase production of chromels, because gladiolus propagate by vegetative propagation through chromels. Is it possible we can do that as well? So the hypothesis is that can cyclamen flowering gladiolus actually flower in a short day? And if consistent short day treatment, can they actually promote vegetative growth as well for cyclamen gladiolus? So the material and methods for the experiments, we have gladiolus hybrids cooled for 6 weeks to break dormancy because they able meet dormancy period. And actually that promotes flowering, so they don't have any, I would say, excuse. They don't flower, so they give them all the requirements for that. Divide them two treatment, long-day treatment and short-day treatment, 10 ribs each for identical propagated clones, so they all have the same genotype. There's no genotype difference within the same line. Arrange in a complete random design, and the result generated by using JUMP software. So the treatment, we have long-day treatment, 16 hours, and the short day, 8 hours. In the long day, we started from 6 to 10. We supplemented lighting there. And the short day, actually, from 8 to 4, we covered, actually, the black cloth to induce a short day. Genotype, we have 3 breeding lines as well as 1 commercial lines. For the genotypes, to look more specifically, every genotype has all these treatment types, our breeding lines, they are all cyclone lines. If you look more closely, they have different characteristics for each one. So this one have GL1 have short dormancy, GL2 have real jumbo size, and 3 have multiple stocks generation. For the commercial line we use spring flowering cultivar. 10-day treatment, long day and short day treatment for 10 replicas each. So the result we generated, we have a short day plants that didn't flower, and the long day plants actually flowered. So all of the long day plants flowered while short day didn't flower. And even we let them till they senesce, they didn't flower. So that's complete cycle for them. They didn't flower in the short day. So the chi-square for them, it's quite obvious directly. All the plants flowered in the long day, and none of them flowered short day. Full significant difference. There is no actual analysis flower in the long short day. So the hypothesis is that they only flower on the long day. Looking at the other parameters, such as number of leaves, foliage height, we actually had significant difference in height because their light actually promote number of leaves increased that and forced height, while short day didn't promote that. So there's significant difference in that combined in the leaves and genotype for the leaves. For even a genotype, there's no significant difference. Looking at the corm and cormel developments, there's significant difference in corm weight as well as number of cormels. Although there's one line that didn't actually have a difference, this one as well as the number of cormels is the weight. For the discussion, long day treatment actually promotes all the positive parameters such as increased height, number of leaves, corm weight, number of cormels, while short day treatment did not decrease any parameters for measure that. So the weight of cormels isn't influenced by photoperiod, with exception of GL1. As you can see here, that's the only time that's actually increased. Other time, there's also no significant difference for all of them, except for here, this one, slightly. So long day actually promotes leaf development and as well increase the source. So gladiolus have two source, source and have two things. As the flower as well as the corm development. The first priority goes to the flower development. Any remaining energy going to go to this, go to the corm development. So that's the dilemma in gladiolus, like which one is priority. Mostly typically it goes as flower first and then corm. However, there could be balance 50-50. That's genotype dependent. So short day treatment actually had no flowering and reduced number of leaves. That's why it doesn't have enough energy actually to produce more weight, However, actually, only the dough goes to the sink because it didn't flour. So to apply that in a crop scheduling, that knowledge we have, so all genotypes actually restricted to flowering under long day, and the photo period isn't affected, it doesn't affect initiation, however, it affects development. With that knowledge, we can actually apply short day treatment in a long day flowering plants such as gladiolus. So first, in this new model, we actually plant gladiscorum, long day, grow vegetatively fine, 6-7 day leaves stage, which is pre and thesis stage, and then we apply short day will hasten flowering. If we just stay as a long day, it's going to be slower, but short day after 6 days, 7 days, 6-7 leaves stage, that's going to promote flowering. The other option we can apply short day treatment is actually for corm itself. So we know that if we apply short day all the time, it does increase the corm weight. However, if you apply short day treatment after anthesis, after it's completely bloomed and flowered, during that time, after flowering till senescence, if you apply short day, that's going to increase the corm development because it's such a dynamic that the plants actually need long day to flower. But after it's flowered, after it succeeds its objective, then short day can be applied to increase corm development. And with that, acknowledge the sponsors, Quit University, Minnesota Department of Horticulture, as well as Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association. For future research, we're going to apply increased temperature under short day, as well apply high light intensity under short day. There's some report experiments for that that have a significant difference in hastening the flowering, as well as increased development of corm. Thank you so much. All right.